For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, greetings. This is day 6 in the 7-day series, and my name is Steve Clark. And by the time we get done this week, we'll probably all have memorized those two verses out of 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. We are talking this week about overcoming the world. And for a very quick overview, we looked at several verses in Revelation, which were the promises to the overcomer. We also saw how being born of God affects overcoming the world. And we talked about what the world is, the systems of the world. And we tried to answer the question, what does it mean to overcome the world or the world systems? We saw how there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, and that we are either in one kingdom or the other. And yesterday we talked about how we can be an overcomer. Well, today the question comes to us, are we living an overcoming life? Well, there was a couple decades ago, there was a brother, I don't even remember who it was, that was preaching a message at church, I suppose, I don't even know, but this statement I remember, and I don't remember exactly how it went, but it says that if we as Christians really understood two things, the way we live as Christians would drastically change. So if we really understood two different things, that we would have a completely different outlook on life or on Christianity. We'd be overcomers, it would be walking in victory. I'm not sure exactly how the statement was, but something about these two things. Well, what are those two things? Well, the first one was really understanding what the church is, and then the second one is really understanding what the world is. So we've been looking at what the world is, the systems of the world, and what I'd like to focus on a little bit here this morning is the church, or us as the church, the called out ones. We are called out of the world, the ecclesia, that's the name, that's the Greek word for church, is the ecclesia, the called out ones, called out from the world and called unto Christ. It's not just called out from something, but it's also called into something. It's called into the body of Christ, into the fellowship of the believers, into the church. We're called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we're called out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God. So as I said there, it's not just calling out of something, but it's also going into something. Coming out of the world, going into Christ. Coming out of the power of darkness, coming out of the power of the devil, into the kingdom of his dear son. So this is one that I would like to discuss here. This is something that I'd like to discuss here this morning is the church, and we've been looking at overcoming the world, and this has a big, well, this is the practical aspect of this, of being called out of the world and into something else, which is the church. So my wife and I, we've been reading a book. It's called A Vision of Kingdom Christianity, and it's by David Robertson, and this is a brother that had been in the Protestant circles for a number of years and has came out of the Protestant circles into an Anabaptist setting. And he has a lot of insight. And there was something in the book that really struck my attention. It was an illustration that he gave. And I'd like to read this. It's a couple pages here in the book that I'd like to read here this morning. And this is, the chapter is called Why Do We Exist? It's on page 29. It says, a question seldom asked and rarely answered is the one we have already considered in earlier pages. It is a question of such seriousness that it ought to be the focus for all of life. We could phrase this question in various ways. Why am I here? Why did God create me? What is my part in his great plan? On what do I base how I actually live my life? Okay, so why do we exist? Why am I here? That's the question that Mr. Robertson here is wanting to address. says, as men, women, families, and churches, we live below the standard that God designed and intended for us. This is a great gap between what the Bible says about God's purpose for man and how you and I actually live. I have caught just a little glimpse of God's majestic purpose for his people, and I long to narrow that gap. I want to remind you once again that discovering why you exist is vitally related to a correct understanding of the larger purposes and plans of God. In other words, studying the 12 foundational pillars that follow is not an academic exercise. It is part of understanding why you are here. To drive this home, let me share a story. Okay, so he references 12 foundational pillars, and these are pillars that he has in his book, different pillars. I'll just go through them real quickly. Pillar one is communion. Pillar two is communication. Pillar three is community. Pillar four is citizenship. Pillar five is commitment. Pillar six is conversion. Pillar seven is confession. And pillar eight is cross-bearing. And that's where my wife and I are at right now. We read pillar seven yesterday on confession or on faith. And so there is this illustration that he gives here where I'm reading, and I want us to consider that here this morning. It starts off, it says, which submarine and which church? A huge World War II German U-boat or submarine is on display in a Chicago museum. Visitors can learn the history, pay to tour it, and see how it operates. But in fact, the U-boat is out of the water, out of the war, and has no crew except some museum guides and caretakers. That U-boat fulfills a purpose, but is not the purpose its designers intended for it. It has missed its calling. There are two different kinds of U-boats, those in the water and those in the museum. The one kind fulfills its calling, and the other kind serves a totally different purpose. Let us relate this to you and me and the church. Many of us as Christians and churches have missed our calling. We are like the guides, teachers, caretakers, money collectors, and spectators in the museum. But God has called us to come and join his crew, the church, and to engage in a very real battle for his kingdom. The devastating truth is that many of us who have joined God's crew have not yet graduated from basic training. We sit week after week listening to stirring messages, and sometimes not so stirring messages, I would say, but have never been gripped by the eternal realities for which we as men and women exist. We have not entered into the action. And the horrible thing is that some of us do not know that anything is wrong. We are content to be in the museum. Our preachers, too, eventually become used to life in the museum. They begin to think they have been called to preach nice sermons and solve problems. The eye that once gleamed with fire becomes cloudy and dim. How can this be? I, for one, cannot accept it. I cannot be content. I cannot settle for less, for I have read the directions, God's directions. The great need of the hour is for a company of Jesus' true followers to rise up in what has been called holy discontent, to ask the serious questions, read the directions, and then enter into obedient action. I believe in God's crew, the church. I believe she is the most important institution in the world. I believe she has been given the most important job on earth. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ will triumph. This victorious church is not a building on a corner. It does not consist of singing, preaching, or holy days. It is not a club to meet our needs, nor a group that believes a list of statements of certain facts about God. It is certainly not a museum piece. So what is it? To answer that, we need to go to the directions. And then I'm going to skip a little bit here. It says, you and I as Christians could discuss many interesting but secondary topics concerning God and our faith. But most important, How is my faith in God to be worked out in real life? How am I to live? In other words, what is it that God expects of me if I am to be on his crew and engaged in the battle? Okay, so here we have this example of this German U-boat, this submarine that's on display in Chicago, or in Chicago or Boston or something. So he's relating that to the church. And as I pondered this, and I pondered this several times about this submarine, but let's think about the church today. Let's think about your church, my church, where we're really at. You know, we as Anabaptists, we can talk about the early Anabaptists, Menno Simons and George Blaurock, and we can read about these different men. We can talk about these different men. We can talk about the history and how they, you know, how they met in caves, and we can even go see the cave that they met in because of the persecution. And we can talk about how they would go out and preach in these villages, and people would come chasing after them and drive them out of the, or try to catch them and put them in prison. And many of them died for their faith. We can talk about all these things. And this is the museum piece that this Brother David Robinson is, I believe, talking about. We can talk about the early church history. We can read about, in Acts, how they went and preached the gospel and how they did this and they did that. And we can become just like these caretakers or museum guides that talk about the past, but what is reality in my life, in your life? Is it a walk with God? Is it preaching the gospel? You know, as Anabaptists, and I think probably a lot of the people that call into the Daily Inspiration are Anabaptists. So as Anabaptists, we would think that obeying the commands of Christ are very important. You know, we would say that the Protestants, in a lot of ways, they don't believe it. You know, they go to war and they fight, but we believe that Jesus said to love your enemies, and we believe that's literal, that we should love our enemies. And we also would take up the cause of divorce and remarriage, that we would say that's not what God has intended, and that we shouldn't be divorced and we shouldn't get remarried and all this. We can look at these statements that Jesus made, these commands that Jesus made, and we can think pretty good of ourselves that we're obeying these commands. And we can even talk about these things that, you know, we do this and the other churches don't do this. But let me give you a command that I believe is many Anabaptists fall way short of. And that's in Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, this is Jesus, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So this is called the Great Commission. This is the words of Jesus. And this actually is the very last words of the Lord, or some of the last words of the Lord, as he taught his disciples and told his disciples it wasn't just for them, just like divorce and remarriage wasn't just for them, and loving their enemies wasn't just for them. It's for us. It's for the church. And, you know, we're happy to be on display. Some Anabaptists are happy to be on display and have the tourists come and look at them plow their fields with horses and have them buy our whoopie pies and our cakes and our shoe fly pie and whatever else. And we're happy to take their money and do their, you know, sell crafts to them and things like that. We're on display like the museum. Do you see my point here? It's like the museum, but what are we doing? Are we passing out tracts to those people? Are we telling them that they can be saved from their sins, that they don't have to go to hell, that they don't have to live a life of depravity? They can have a walk with God. Are we doing what the early Anabaptists did? Are we Are we doing what the early church did, or are we just a museum piece to be seen? And you know, like a fishbowl, people come to, say, Lancaster County and look at the Amish, and it's like a fishbowl. They don't want to become the fish. They just want to see these interesting people. But we as Christians should be wanting them to be, not to necessarily have the lifestyle of horse and buggies, but we're wanting them to come from darkness into light. We're wanting them to come from the power of Satan into the power of God. We want them to be born again, and that should be our heart. That should be our desire. That should be our motive in life. Why are we here? That was the question this brother asked in this book. Why do we exist? Why am I here? Why did God create me? Was it just so that I could have a nice, peaceful life and never tell anybody about Jesus, never explain the gospel to them? So that's the burden, I guess, for this daily inspiration, that we would be more than just a museum piece, but we would be Christians that are going out and telling the world that they can be saved and that they can come to the knowledge of the truth. So God bless you today. I hope this has been an inspiration and a motivation to each one that has called in today to listen. Well, thank you. God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll finish up our series tomorrow.